Now, how in the world could I have left that out?
Good. Congratulations.
Yikes.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Twice. All right. Let's see if we can get this right this time. Mr. Williams, Dr., Reverend, Dr., whatever. We know him as Enoch. Let's do it.
I wonder why I didn't see that.
You weren't looking. Very good.
I wasn't either, Enoch. Roll for two.
Well, it was over there and you didn't see it.
It was that way.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Now, I know. You know, I can't tell you. This week is just going too fast for me.
That's the truth.
I turned around and I said, tomorrow is our last day here. And it just seems like I just got here.
Yes.
You know, and I've been having the glorious time in the Lord. You know?
Yes.
It's good to see your faces. And I was sitting there thinking while Bob was trying to figure out whether I should come up here or not. What? You know, I'm going to miss you folks. I really, I've gotten to feel like this is part of my family. And I mean extended, and though you are, I hate to leave you.
Come back.
Oh, I intend to. You can't get rid of me that easy. But, you know, and I can understand why so many of you have been coming for so many years. Because, you know, we have a common goal to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify our Heavenly Father. And when His Spirit is working in our midst, it's just like, who wants to break this up? And I said, you know, that's just the way I feel about it. Now, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to tell you a story about a man who didn't want to break up a family too. And we're going to see that scripture that Alton read from Matthew chapter 16 and what it's saying to us. Because, you know, he said he's not a preacher, but I'm going to tell you, I am. Because that's what God called me to be. Father, we thank you and we give you the glory because we know this night, Lord, you purpose that we come to this place and be here available for you to use as your Spirit directs, as you, Lord, enable, and as, Lord, you declare your word through these tonsils and this voice. And, Lord, we ask that you would just bless the hearts of all who hear, and, Lord, make it known to them what you would like to say as you reveal it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, I can't see, and a lot of you can't, but I knew a young man who was walking by a graveyard one day, and he looked over the fence, and he saw a man kneeling down on his knees, pounding on a gravestone, saying, "Oh, why did you die? Oh, why did you die?" And it grieved him to his heart, and he just couldn't help but go over to him and say, "Sir, I know this is not the time to really trouble you, but I just couldn't help but feel your grief, and I had to come over and ask you, who's buried here? Is it your mother?" He said, "No." "Is it your father?" "No." "One of your children?" He said, "No." "Your wife?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, would you mind telling me who it is?" He said, "It's my wife's first husband." "Oh, why did you die?" Yes. Well, folks, that's the way some of us are about our old nature. You know? We ask the, well, you know, "Oh, why did you die?" Because we get up in the morning and we start catering to it. We start letting Adam get back in the driver's seat. And in Matthew chapter 16:24, we read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Now, folks, that seems like a pretty forthright statement. But do we really know what is being said here when Jesus said, "If you desire to follow me"? First of all, you have to have a desire to follow Jesus. And the only way I know you're going to get it is you're listening to the Spirit of God talk to your heart. Amen. You're not going to get it from your friend who says, "Come on and go down to the church service with me," or they're having a Thanksgiving dinner there today, or they're going to have a picnic, or they're going to, baptize somebody else. God's Spirit speaks to us through His Word. And if your friend says to you, maybe you'd like to find out what God has to say about your problems and dealing with them in this life and for eternity. And if you can get that thought through their thick skulls, because I had one too, then you might move them to respond in a positive manner. Because the Lord said it's His Spirit that's working in this world to draw us to Him. And when I hear folks tell me, "Oh, I'm going to change my ways," first thing I tell them is, "I hope you're asking the Lord, because if you decide to change them, you might just get into one of them legalistic formats that Martha talked about this afternoon. And make up your mind that you're going to be a real moral person and find that, there's somebody out there that feels the same way you do, but you're not going to have any reality. You're not going to be able to say, "I belong to the Lord," nor that "I'm following Him." Because Jesus said He humbled Himself. He set aside the glory that rightfully belonged to Him and humbled Himself so that He could reach out to you and me.
Yes.
Now, folks, how many know that every time somebody steps on our toes, we holler, "Ouch." And you can't do that. You shan't treat me that way. Well, maybe they shouldn't have, but they did anyway. And the first thing we do is get on our high horses and talk about who we are. They stepped on Jesus with 39 stripes. They took Him out, nailed Him on a cross. And He didn't mumble a word of rebuke to them. He said, "If you can't... if you don't know that my Father's given you the ability and strength to do this, that you couldn't do anything if He didn't allow it." So, if we're going to follow Jesus, we got a cross to bear. The world is not going to like you. I hate to tell you, folks, you're not the best loved person in your neighborhood. They might like what you have, what you represent, and who you stand for, but they're not going to like you, because He is going to make Himself known through you. And once you've established that fact, that you're standing up for something, that you're not going to lay down and let everything that they do, stand for what you represent, because the world has a big poster sign out there that says, "Come follow me." That's what they're talking about. Don't, let's get along with the status quo. Let's do what the world is doing so that we don't stir up any fuss, But I'm going to tell you, we're troublemakers. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Every one of you is a troublemaker.
Yeah.
You got a stance that, says to the world, "Hey, come follow me, because I represent Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm.
And, the only way you're going to let them know that is if you're taking the cross that Christ said that is yours, not His cross. He's not asking you to, get up on the cross and die again for Him. He's asking you to take a stance in this world against the evil of it, against the things that are against God. The Bible tells us the world is at enmity with the Lord. It's not His friend. And it's not trying to be either. Now, is it good? A lot of folks will say, well, you know, it's my flesh. I'm here to tell you, every bit of your flesh here is good. All this stuff here, God made it, it's good. He said so, and he never retracted that statement. What is evil is that inward man, the old Adamic nature. That's what it's talking about when it says the flesh is carnal, because that's what drives this pigment here if you let it. That's what turns it around and gets you turned against your brother or your sister in Christ even sometimes, you know, because you're listening to the wrong voice. God's given us his spirit to follow him. And if we're going to follow him, we need to listen to the right voice.
Amen.
Not Adam. Adam wasn't doing anything for you when you were out there in the world. He'd get you in trouble and then tell you, well, you got yourself in this mess. Get yourself out. You know, that's all he ever told me was, you messed up. And the world will echo that. And it won't give you a second chance to get up and try it again either. I have a rehab right across the street from me that's full of ex-convicts. They come and go for 6 months. So, you know, supposed to be re-entering society. But the ones I talk to tell me they can't find a job because every job they go to, the employer says, you're an ex-convict? You can't work here because we can't trust you. You might do what you did before. But what? Well, look, you know, I want a second chance. The second chance is they probably got to go out and try and steal something or do something else to get over so they can get by. That's the world's second chance. But the Lord says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far you've gone away from me. Come back. I'll clean you up. You got to offer yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
A living sacrifice.
Amen.
And, you know, that's the only way it's going to work. Folks, there's so many programs going on out there in society that tell people that they've got an answer that is ridiculous. I mean, we've got postmodernism, we've got the New Age stuff, we've got humanism and nihilism and naturalism and atheism and, you know, as you know, monotheistic monism and all. And none of these things are solving anybody's problem. All they're doing is keeping people in little segregated groups. Say, hey, I found a place where I fit in. And you know what? You probably will when you arrive in hell, if that's where you're going. But as Christians, we have been ordered to come follow Jesus.
Amen.
And we have a cross to bear. That cross is your standing up for the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's imputed it to you.
Yeah.
You don't have any righteousness of your own.
No.
Folks, you're not going to have me sit up and tell you that you should feel good because of who you are. I feel good because of whose I am.
Amen.
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 And I know in who I have believed. And that's all I need to know. I don't need to know whether or not you got enough money to make me, you know, feel comfortable around you, or whether or not you're going to treat me to dinner, or whether you're going to take me out for the evening. That's all good. I enjoy it all. Hey, got nothing against it. But you can't buy what Jesus gives us for nothing, because it cost him everything.
Amen.
Amen. And you can't get it without carrying your cross. That means that you're going to have to stand up and tell somebody who you are at some point in time, because they're going to ask you. You know, anybody in here that hasn't been asked if they were a Christian during their life? I hope nobody answers me that, because I'll know you haven't given much of a witness then. But, you know, that's the way it is. And that's great, because we have something that is real, you know, and we can offer it to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
A sacrifice in the Old Testament was one that they took an animal and put it on an altar and offered it for a burnt offering or a peace offering, a sin offering, or a transpiece offering, all different phases of what is included in our salvation. But God put himself on a cross so that we could have a completed salvation, not made with human hands, not involved with animals, but as he told and Abraham spoke under the guidance of the Spirit, the Lord himself shall provide himself a ram. Abraham knew that the Lord himself was going to provide himself as a offering for us. And I don't know how many times I read that before that sunk in, that Abraham had enough knowledge of God to know that God was going to provide a Messiah that was going to be the offering for our sin. And that's before we even hear anything about the good news in Matthew chapter 1. But God has been revealing himself to man throughout the entire history of mankind, and he's been giving us that message of salvation as well. You know, folks, some people say you don't need to read the Old Testament because that's that's past. But if you miss the Old Testament, you're going to miss the New. Because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And that's the way it is. They go hand in hand. Amen. You can't have one without the other. Now, what we're talking about tonight is losers who can become winners. And I was talking with Rick over breakfast or dinner there, one of these meals here we've had here, and he was telling me about his experiences with his weight over the last 11 years. And then I talked to my wife, and she was telling me that there's a program, a reality program, that is called Losers Who Are Winners, The Biggest Losers. Well, the biggest losers are those who were carrying some weight that was burdening them down, and they lost it and were now winners. Well, folks, when you lose what you've been carrying around as a sinner, you become a winner because you're now in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the world has a philosophy that goes like this, win, lose, lose, win, win, win. And I've been trying to figure that out ever since I learned it, because if you win and can lose, you're no better off than when you started, because if you ever had anything you could call your own, it's not yours anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you that what I had in Adam, that's what they're talking about. They get, you know, they feel like somehow if they can win, but it's possible that somebody might take it away from them. And a lot of times that's true. Look at our economy, the Enron mess, and all that stuff that's happened with the banks and with our political system, is, you know, just the corruption that's going on. Most of us have lived enough to see some prosperous times in our lifetime, and enjoyed a nice job, being able to look around and say, hey, this country's prospering. But you can't really say that right now, because whatever we had, nobody's sure they're going to have tomorrow. So that's a win-lose proposition. Now, on the other hand is a lose-win. Well, I may be down today, but I'm looking forward to getting up tomorrow. How many folks out there have that hope in their life? They think that, you know, I'll just work myself until I get where I want to be. I'm going to tell you, if you're not depending on Jesus to take you, you'll never get there, because one day your health might go while you're in that, you know, battle to get where you can be a winner instead of being a loser. And they might come up and tell you, we're closing the plant down. How many times have we seen that happen? I've been in Philadelphia long enough to see about, 100 plants close down and move out or just go out of business in my lifetime. It was one of the most industrial cities in the country at one point when I was a kid. You had all kinds of businesses there, but they just went away. People's jobs went away, their pensions went away, their futures went away, and they became winners who were losers. Now, of course, the last one that they believe in is win-win. Well, win-win is when things just keep going from better to better to better, and there's no end in sight. I'm here to tell you that in the natural, the Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. I don't care what you think you have now. If you are depending upon that for your future, then you've made an idol out of it. You've simply put your trust in the wrong thing, and it's going to go away. Because Moses, back in his day, said, "Be sure your sins will find you out." There's just some basic principles in this book that man just can't grasp a hold of that will end up being his undoing. And you know why we are the way we are? Why we can get up in the morning and shout, "Thank you, Lord," and have the joy of the Lord in our heart and his peace? Because we're not depending on any of those situations. We've decided to follow Jesus. And you know, the cross that we bear is because he is going to be there to see us through it. It's never going to overcome us. You're never going to have to worry about whether you're winning, losing, or win-win. You're already a winner. Anybody that's given their life to Jesus is a winner. It's going to be a winner every day you get up. Whether you feel like it, whether you know it or not, the book states it, folks, that we can depend on it because he's going to complete what he started in us. Now, I'm going to read 16:25. "For whoever decides to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses a life for my sake will find it." Why? Well, let's see. There's folks that are saying they're following Jesus, and yet they don't have that assurance that they're going to be able to find life in him. What is that life? Is it just the fact that I get up and breathe every morning? Well, when God created man, Adam was a big ball of dirty shaped, and he looked almost as ugly as me. And he breathed the breath of life into him. And he got up and started walking around talking and even knew who his creator was. But did he have the indwelling Holy Spirit? No. Because if he had, then God would have had to undo what he made. And, you know, the word tells us that he was a natural man, that he could interact with the Lord. He certainly knew who his creator was, and he had learned to listen to his voice until one day when he and his wife got together and they decided to do something else. But if he had been the spiritual man, God would have had to abandon his creation. Thank God that he already knew what we were going to do from the beginning and decided to improve on it. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, is the spiritual man. And God has come to be a part of who we are and live in our lives in a way that he did not live in Adam and Eve's life. Because we've been born again, not just in the natural sense, but in the spiritual man. And that Jesus Christ is our brother. That, you know, that God has, whatever he's prepared for Jesus to inherit, that we're going to be partakers of it as joint heirs. That God's planned a future for you and I that we can't even begin to imagine. And all he asks us to do is to serve him, sacrifice to him, and follow him. Sacrifice, not get up on the altar and say, "Oh, look at me. I'm willing to do this." That's what the Pharisees used to do. You know, they get out in the square and they say their little prayers and they put on their fancy garments and, you know, get up and read scripture and proclaim how righteous they were. Hey, folks, there's nothing righteous about you and I except Jesus Christ. His righteousness imputed to us that we could stand in position of his holiness, and that he has positioned us in the heavens with his Son. And one day, he's going to make it practical because he's going to take us to himself and to complete the work that he started in you and me. But you got to be following him. If you're not following, you're not going to be there. I'm here to tell you, folks, only those that are following him are going to be there. And you got to know him for yourself. I don't care, you know, how many friends you got that think you are Christian or that you've told that you're a Christian. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ and said, yes, Lord, to his will and way, you're not going to be in that number. But you can take the opportunity tonight to make that a reality. You can follow him from this moment on. You can say, yes, Lord, yes, I'm willing to give up that old nature. I want to put it to death. And, you know, tell it, don't get up no more, because that's what the word tells me, that daily we're to tell him, don't get up here, because you don't belong here. I remember some of those things that I used to do, you know. I'd get up in the morning, and I'd get that urge, you know. I'd say, that don't belong to me no more. Lord, you've just given me the grace to go overcome that. Believe me, he will. Yeah. He surely will. When people tell me I can't, you know, I can't do this, or it's all right, you know, the Lord understands. No, he does not understand sin. He will never understand sin, because there's no sin in him. And we can't give it to him. He don't want it. He'll take it to the cross where it was nailed there, and you can leave it there. And you can get up and take that yoke and follow him. But don't try to change him. He wants to change you. Amen?
Amen.
For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give for his soul? Folks, the world has got this idea that this is what it's all about. Anybody ever heard that saying? I hear it all the time. That's what it's all about. No, it's not. It's about a man named Jesus.
Amen.
That's all it's about.
Amen.
It's never going to be about anything more. Because God sent his son into this world to be the propitiation for our sin. He made himself a substitute for our guilt. He took on what we deserved and imputed to his righteousness. Now, what did I give him? All my old ways. All those things that were dragging me down, were taking my life and making it miserable, and told me that you were happy. I remember, you know, I'd go out and party. Anybody ever party in here? I guess there's somebody in here who must have went out with me, because I didn't go out by myself. And come in the next morning, get up feeling miserable. Talking about, man, I had a good time. And the first place I went to visit was the throne room. and say, look, excuse me, I'm not sick, but I'm making believe, you know. But that was a good time. Till one day the Lord impressed upon me, said, you know what, Enoch, you don't need to do that. You're wasting, throwing your money away. You're making your body sick. And you're not having a good time. I get to praising the Lord and singing his songs and, you know, just exalting him. And I know the difference between what I was doing and what I'm doing now. I'm having a good time.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And I feel good about it. But the world tells you that's a good time. Oh, yeah, you don't know what you're missing. Come go with us. We're going to the party.
Yes.
The party is a bunch of miserable people trying to console one another with the, you know, I'll tell you my miseries, you tell me yours, and I know I feel better than you do. That's what it amounts to. And they're willing to spend all kinds of money to do it, too. They'll go to the farthest places they can find. You see how many more miserable people there are over there, and then come back and tell you how grand it was. Let me tell you, there's nobody in this world any different than you and I when it comes to their relationship with God. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus.
Yes.
And until you find him, you can't really tell me anything about life.
That's all right.
Because life is in him. It's not in the world. You think that those folks that got their millions are happy? Most of them are miserable because they're worried about somebody trying to get it away from them, or they don't have enough, or I gotta give what I got to somebody else. Hey, the Lord said we could give it all away, and He'd still supply our needs. You can't outgive God. You know that? I don't care what you have. You can't outgive God, because whatever you got it from Him to begin with. And if He gave it to you and you use it to glorify Him, He's going to see you get some more. You know that? I'm amazed at the way God can open doors and provide for needs that, He has already set up, if we're just willing to be a part of it. And it lets you see who He really is, Sue, folks. If you want to know Him, start getting involved with what He's doing, and you'll know who He is, because you'll see Him working in your life. And what you offer as, part of who your relationship with Him, He's not going to let it fall to the earth and not accomplish what He's purposed to do, no more than His word will. He said He'll prosper us and not so that you can go tell your neighbor, I got that new car. See that pretty thing sitting over there? And look at that jalopy you got, No. If you get a new car, you can say, Lord, I want to use this thing for Your glory, and You show me how to help somebody who's less fortunate. And that'll be a blessing. And you can enjoy the blessing while you're riding around in it, too. But if you're going to take it and say, hey, nobody gets in here but me, stay away from that. There's a lot of folks feel that way about whatever God gives them, you know that? Because they think somehow I got this for myself, and nobody else is going to mess it up, or nobody else is going to get an opportunity to get in and do something to it because it's mine. Well, it may be yours for a short while, but believe me, everything I've ever seen in this life has a lifespan, whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40 years or whatever. Sooner or later, you're going to have to replace it, repair it, or repaint it, or clean it, or do something to it, or it's going to fall apart on you. But I'll tell you one thing that would never fall apart is God's promise to provide for our need. Our need is that we have food over our head, in our mouth, roof over our head, and clothes on our back. And He didn't let it go untended to, even with the Israelites when they were out there in the desert for almost 40 years in rebellion against Him. But they came out with the same shoes they went on in there and same clothes. They couldn't wear them out. And they were in rebellion against Him. But He still loved them enough to take care of their natural needs. Why are we worrying about what we got on the, in front of the house, or whether or not we've got the best looking stuff in the house, or instead of worrying about what God's doing in our hearts? Because He wants us to follow Him. And when I look at Matthew chapter, 4, and Jesus is out there in the desert with Satan tempting Him, He could have called all the angels He wanted and ate all the food He wanted, and He didn't have to go out there and fast and suffer, but He knew that catering to the whims of this body was not going to put Him in the right frame of mind with His Creator, because every time we let the flesh get in the driver's seat, our focus gets in the wrong seat. My father used to tell me, You're listening to the wrong, and I won't say that. He had a way of putting things that were right up front. And I used to listen to him and say, but, what's he talking about? But when you're a teenager, you don't really sink in sometimes. But I found out he was right when he told me something, because he had lived it already. He knew where he was coming from, and he was trying to point me in the right direction. And, when I see teenagers today, they're no different than we were. They still think they know everything as soon as they hit 13, 14 years old. Somehow, the whole world just became plain to them. And all I hear folks talking about today is, boy, what are we going to do with them teenagers? Tell them the truth. Tell them what's good for them. Don't just point a finger at them and tell them how wrong they are. They already know they're wrong. Folks, I keep telling you, sin works on the human conscience. If God hadn't given us a conscience, even those unsaved, we would do anything we're big and bad enough to and never feel any guilt at all. But God's given us the ability to understand right from wrong. And they know that. But somebody's got to care enough to point them in the right direction. And when I hear them talking that stuff anymore, I get right back with them and tell them, hey, you got a problem with that? What are you doing in your neighborhood that's going to make a difference? And that's what we are about. If we're going to follow Jesus, we got to make a difference. We got to make losers winners. We want to turn them around. We want to get them pointed in the right direction. Now, will they all come? No. But have they got the right to have the opportunity to be offered something better? Amen. Certainly. Amen. And we can be the offering that God uses to bring that about. And when Jesus said, come follow me, you listened. When he said, take up your cross, you listened. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't feel it was worth the effort to know him a little better. I don't think anybody sitting in here would have come in here if they weren't interested in what's going on here. I'm not saying that everybody in here is saved. I hope you are, but if you're not, you can change that this evening. You can simply say, Lord, I am a sinner. I know that your son, Jesus Christ, came into this world, lived the life that I could never live, because he was perfect. There was no sin in him. Offered himself on Calvary for my sin and is willing to give me the forgiveness of that sin if I ask him into my heart as Lord and Savior. And that you will enable me through your Holy Spirit to walk in this world with my head up high, looking to you, the author and finisher of my faith. And I can say I'm no longer a loser, but I'm a winner. And that applies to anyone that walks through these doors. There's no restriction on who God will save, or is he going to prefer one over another. It's simply a matter of agreeing with who he is, because he said that, hey, you must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. Give up self. Stop talking about who I am and start finding out who he is. And he will come in and keep you and take you to himself, teach you, and be with you forever. God bless you. Hope we can bless you.